I think it's so important for us to realize that also the challenges are good. And it's good sometimes to be challenged. Like, it's good also to be challenged for someone. Because as our sinfulness was a challenge for the holy life of God and make God to make a plan to save us for Him, also, when we are a challenge for somebody, it's also good to help them to love us, to have patience with us, to pray in some way for us, and just, you know, we just help them to be holy. But what it's really our desires, what we really want, what it's our vision for our life, on what we would like to concentrate, what is that thing in life we would like to achieve as we live on this earth? Because life for some of us is longer, life for some of us is shorter. But what is that thing we would like to achieve as we live on this earth? Yeah, we can be a blessing, we can be a challenge, but what is our desires? What we would like to be? What is our focus? We like to be in the people's life a blessing, or we like to be a challenge? It can be both. But if you like to be a challenge, you don't have to do much. It doesn't take too much to be a challenge for somebody's life. You know, if you want to be a challenge, you just need to just follow the desire of your sinful heart. I mean, just do nothing. Just do whatever you feel like you want to do. Just do whatever you feel like it's comfortable for you to do. Just do whatever you want to do. Just follow the desires of your heart, and you will achieve very quickly that goal to be a challenge. If you want to be a challenge, just, you know, never, never, never accept to walk out of your comfort zone. Just, you know, never, like, do whatever thinks that it's safety for you. You feel like you control it. You feel like you own it. So you just go in that, live in that area. You do ministry in that area. And that way, it's so easy to become a challenge for so many people around you. If you want to be a challenge, don't do nothing that will affect your image. Like, don't do something. If you know English like I do, don't go in the front of an American church and preach. Because you will say stupid things as I do. You know? Don't do that. Don't go out and do things that will affect your image. Because, you know, it will make you look bad. But you'll also become a challenge. Don't do nothing which will cost your time or your emotions. If you want to be a challenge, don't do nothing which will cost your time. You know, many times you say, I don't have time. Why? I don't have time. So don't do something which will steal the time from you. Just do things which you have time for. And it's so easy to become a challenge. If we decide to be such type of followers of Christ, I think if we decide to be a type of Christians which will follow the desires of their heart, if we decide to be type of Christians which never walk out of their comfort zone, if we decide to do only the things which doesn't affect our images, if we decide to do only things which doesn't cost our time, our emotions, I think it will be not very hard to be a challenge. So if that is your goal, if this is the thing you want to achieve in life, follow your heart. But if you want to be a blessing, then I think that the passage that we read from 1 Thessalonians it can serve us as a big help, an example, about how we can become a blessing for those around us. How can we be those kind of followers of Christ which shining the light in the world? How can we be those followers of Christ which are the salt in this sinful world? So, in the context or in the text we read, we saw Paul that he is thankful and he is praying all the time for the brothers from Thessalonians. And I guess you remember that in that context, he said that I'm mentioning all the time you before God because you are a blessing for me. All the time when I'm thinking to you, I just cannot hold to not pray and give thanks to the Lord because there are several things in your life, Paul says to them, which just push me to praise God and pray to God for you. Verse 2 and verse 3, it contained those three things that he mentioned about the church from Thessalonians. The first thing he said, I'm seeing the work of your faith. And then the second thing he says, I'm seeing the labor of your love. And the third thing he says, I see the steadfast of your hope. I think this is the three aspects which was a great and a strong encouragement and blessing for Paul and for Sila. So also in our daily life, in the local church, in the local body, when you look around in the church and you are thinking of your brothers and sisters, I think you have different minds, different opinion about everyone. But I do believe that there are people around you who you know the work of their faith. I mean, everyone says that love Jesus. But there are some people who, because they love Jesus, they start to do things. And you can see that, you know, this guy is believing in God. And because he says that he believes in God, he is doing something. So the first thing I want to speak about from that text is the work of our faith. And I think in your bulletins, it's something written there. So the work of our faith, it's the manifestation of our walk with Christ. The work of our faith is the manifestation of our walk with Christ. You know, in Moldova, today, we have one of, I would say, the saddest celebration that this country can celebrate. I don't know if you, I guess you do that thing too. We celebrate this Sunday, the death. Like people making a greater, bigger thing than celebrating the life. Last Sunday, we gathered together, we rejoiced in the house of the Lord, we shouted out and we said, Hallelujah, because we understood and we remember that He conquered the death, right? So we know that if you put your trust in God, if you believe in Jesus, He did it all for us. So, but this Sunday in Moldova, every family, everyone is gathering together, bringing food, lots of drinks and all kind of stuff. And going to the cemetery. And all the family are going to stay around the graver? Yeah, around the grave and just sitting down there and talk and eat and most of them getting drunk. And then, you know, some of them will even fight by the evening. But this is what we do this day. We celebrate the death. And you know, if you don't go to church on Easter, it's not a big thing. If you don't visit with family on the Easter, it's okay, it's understandable. But if you don't visit the family, if you don't go to the grave on the death Sunday, you are the greatest sinner it can be possible. So now, I'm saying this to you in the context of what Paul is saying to Thessalonians. He says, you know, I'm giving thanks to the Lord. I'm just praying and praising God. You know why? Because I'm looking to your life and what I'm seeing some work of your faith. I'm seeing the way how you are doing and how you live your life because of that faith in Christ. So if you come to Moldova and you ask people on the street, they say, you know, what you believe, what are your beliefs and who you believe and so on. You know, like I said, 97% of people say, I believe in God. Do you believe in Christ? Yes, I do believe in Christ. Do you believe he was crucified? Yes, I do. Then why in the world are you celebrating the death, not the life? You see, dear brothers and sisters, it is a difference between believing and acting. And Paul is saying here, he says, you know, I'm just looking and counting and realizing the work of your faith, what comes out of you. It's so obvious that Christ works in you. James says, he says, you know, it's great to say that you have faith. And we do believe, we do say that we have faith. And he makes, how it's in English, he makes a comparison. Comparison. He says, let me give you an example. Let me give you something that you can compare with when you talk about faith. And he says, you know, the devil also believe in God. Like, if you talk about faith, that guy also has one. And actually, his faith is maybe greater. But the thing is that he never have works of faith which will bring glory to the Creator. So, what makes the difference? Does this make the difference, the fact that I'm saying that I believe in Christ? Well, that is a great thing. Because if that is true, I'm saved. If I do believe in Christ, if I do believe that Christ is the one who paid for my sin, I put all my trust in him and not in me and not the works, that I'm forgiven. He's the only chance for a human being to reunite it with the Creator, the Father. It's the only chance. It's no other chance on the earth. So it's great to talk about the faith, but also the faith has some kind of manifestation. So our work of faith, dear brothers and sisters, it's a manifestation of our walk with Christ. What kind of works? I just said works which are going to bring glory to God. Because there are so many things that in our eyes, in our sinful heart, we believe that it's correct, that it's what I want to do, me, how I want. But the faith in God will produce in us, will be manifested in actions which are going to bring glory according with God's will, for God's glory. Then when we walk with Christ, we will do the work of Christ. When we walk with Christ, we don't do things asking questions, well, what I think about this. When I do things for Christ, I don't ask myself, oh, what I think about this. How I feel about this. What is my opinion about this. When my faith manifests in me, my faith in Christ, the only question is important, what God thinks about this. How this is glorifying him. God, is this fulfilling the purpose you have with my life? Who cares how I feel? I feel what I feel according with my sinful heart. I cannot count on my feelings. What is important in everything what I'm doing, it's important if I'm walking according with the plan you have for my life in this moment, in this time. God has a plan. He wants to win this creation for him. And he is using me, and he is using you. He is using me in Moldova, in that part of the world. He wants to use you in this part of the world. He has you over here in Cambridge, Ohio. He has me and other Christians in Moldova and Chisinau, in that part of the world. And some parts, some people say that they think it's worse, this is best, or reverse. Everything gets worse. The only good place where it's great, it's over there in heaven with God. And until that day, God wants to do something, wants to achieve something. He has a plan. The question is, in all this work he wants to achieve for all his people, do you want to be a blessing or do you want to be a challenge? I'm going to challenge you with my attitude. I'm going to challenge you with my refuses. I'm going to challenge you with my comfort zone. I'm going to challenge you with guarding my image. I'm going to challenge you with the way how you speak to me and so on and so on and so on. Oh, you know, when we believe in Christ, that faith manifests in a certain way. The devil also believes in God, but the manifestation of his faith in God is to all the time work against the church, against the children of God, to try to tear down everything. He wants to destroy everything and all the time be a problem, create a problem. I don't want to be that kind of man. I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing for you. I want to love you, not according with my desires and feelings and so on. I want to love you according with God. And even if I didn't feel like I want to preach, because Pastor Nate asked me, said, and when I just arrived, said, you know, if you feel too nervous, if you feel like you don't want to preach, just let me know and I'll put some notes together. And then I was just staying before God and I said, God, but you blessed me to arrive here, to come, all these brothers here, why not to take me out of the comfort zone and just let you do something with me if you want. And if God wants me to put me to a shame, praise Him. Praise Him. There's no problem with that. The most important thing is for Him to achieve His plan with my life. That is the most important thing. And the second thing, dear brothers and sisters, the second thing that Paul is mentioning over there in Thessalonians, he said, the labor of love, or our love. Well, the labor of our love pictures how much we let Christ work through us. Okay? So the labor of our love picture how much we let Christ to work through us. You know, as you already figure out, I don't know very well English, so I cannot really understand the definition of this word, the labor of love. But looking in my Bible, in Romanian Bible, I understand that word that it's using in our Bible for your word, labor. So if I will try to define how I understand the labor, it's like working hard to extenuating on something. So when you work so hard, you are so tired, you are almost... It's so hard to even stand up. That is my definition for love, for labor. It's kind of the same here. Okay? So Paul says, first, I'm looking to the work of your faith. And then the second thing he says, you know, I'm just looking to the labor of your love. Wow. And when I'm looking to that, what I'm seeing is just pushing me and Silas to stay before God and bring thanks to the Lord. You are such a blessing for me, says Paul in this text. I'm so blessed. I'm so encouraged. I'm so motivated to keep doing what I'm doing. I want to go to preach more. I want to go to stay more in the position that God calls me, because I'm just looking to you and I'm seeing how the labor of your love manifests over there in Thessalonica. For those of you who knows a little bit more about this book, I just want to remind you that as you read farther through the epistle, Paul makes a great point of the fact that the Thessalonians were going through a lot of suffering. Like a lot of suffering. And in chapter 2, he says, brothers, I'm just looking to how you're steadfast in suffering. And you know, I want to remember you that we are called to this, to suffer for our Lord Jesus. But in this particular text in the beginning, he says, I'm just looking to the labor of your love. Now, you know, we know this, or maybe some of us know the fact that in the Bible, when you look, you can find several type of love, right? So there are 3, 4, 5, I don't know how many you know, type of love. So it's this love eros, which talks about physical attraction. You have this other type of love, philos, which is that type of love between friends, right? Then you have this other type of love, which is like paternos, is that kind of love that children feels for their parents and the parents feels for their parents for their children in reverse. And then you have this type of love, agape, which is difficult to understand. Because we for us, things function in a different thing. Like if you hit me here, I have to feel it. It's all the time both ways. But when you read about the love agape, it's difficult to understand because you find someone who does all the time something good to somebody else without expecting nothing back. So this is not necessarily easy for our brain to process. How in the world I can do something with no expectation? I can do something and say that I have no expectation. But that doesn't mean that in my heart I don't have some expectation. It's almost out of the logical thing. All the time when I'm doing something, I have a purpose and I have an expectation. Even when I'm doing good to people, I have an expectation. I have an expectation for them to say thank you. I have an expectation for them to have an opinion about me, to think something good about me, and so on and so on and so on. So how is that to love agape? Because when you read about God's love, you understand that God loved us with love agape. He did things towards us without expecting nothing back. So he says, Paul, it says it to Thessalonians, he says, you know, I'm just looking to the labor of your love. The way how we are doing things and you expect nothing back. You are just loving with love agape. Now, as we read the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, if you remember, Jesus is teaching the disciples and he is telling them that it will be the fifth type of love. So we talk about, you know, eros, philos, yeah, paternos. We just mentioned about, make a point about agape, God's love. But as you read Matthew, you'll figure out that it's a fifth type of love which will manifest in the last days, which means in our days. Do you know what type of love is that? And Matthew speaks about that. Remember? It says, cold love. The love of many will become, how? Cold. So in the last days, the love of many will be cold. How is that? How can it be a love cold? Well, it's just love that I'm speaking nice, I'm behaving nice, but I'm out of feeling with you. You know, but the Bible says that when somebody is in pain, the whole body is in pain. When somebody suffers, the whole body suffers. When somebody rejoices, everyone rejoices. But sometimes we feel like in these days that we live lives, that your problem, it's your problem. My problem, it's my problem. Well, yeah, we love you. We care about you, we think about you, we pray about you, we can give you even something, we can. But the only thing I'm going to stay away, I don't want to get so much deep and involved, I don't want to feel what you feel. So, Paul is saying, I'm looking to your life, brothers, and I'm seeing the labor of your love, and I'm just rejoicing. So, If you want to ask back, you know, what makes the difference? What makes the difference in what? Well, what makes the difference in my life? It's if I live what I believe. That makes the difference. If I'm only saying that I'm believing and I'm not doing, that is no difference. The Bible said that the ones who are listening and not applying are lying themselves. So between listening and not doing and listening and doing, it is a big difference. That makes the difference. Acting upon God's word according with God's will. When you're talking about the labor of love, I don't know about you because I don't know you. But I'm thinking about myself. How tired I am in my ministry about loving people. You know, I can do so many things for our people in the church. So many things. I can tell them what it's right. I can, so many things. I can give them things. It's not hard. But getting near to their heart, suffering with them, staying still with them and that stinky problem, that is difficult. That takes a different math. You know, different mathematics, like not a simple one, but another one. And that drains you, that gets you tired. But it's a great feeling. Because you know that what you are doing, it's glorifying God. If will be there, he'll do exactly the same with that person. The labor of our love manifests also in the way how we let Christ to love through us. You remember what Jesus said? He said, you know, when people will see how you love each other, they'll know something. They'll know what? That you are who? You are the followers of me. When people will see how you love each other, they don't care about what you're saying. You know, in a world with all this business, all these sentences, all these posters and advertisement, everything, it's creating so fancy, and they will say anything for money. So who cares today about the fact that you are going or I'm going to say to someone, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor, and what? And what if you're a pastor and a Christian? Nobody cares today. But if somebody will watch us, how we care about each other, how we stay next to each other, not in a good situation, but in a difficult and a hard situation. And so something is different with these people. Like, something is not correct, not normal. Why do that? You know, we had in a church for almost 3 years a guy who is non-believer. He doesn't believe that God exists. But he came to our church because he liked a girl. One sister from our church was working to a company, and they were together in the same place. And he liked her, and he proposed to her to be friends. And she said, you know what? I'm not going to accept in my life nobody who doesn't believe in God. So if you don't believe in God, if you don't give your life to Christ, I'm sorry, but the life doesn't have a future for us. So he started to ask questions. What do you mean by that? Like, do you really believe that God exists and so on? She said, yeah, this is my faith. This is what I believe. So Sunday I'm going to church. I'm going to go with you in the church too, he said. And he came to church. And for almost 3 years, he was coming to church every single Sunday. But he never believed in God. And I remember me sitting down once with him after maybe about 2 years, and I said, Grigore, his name, why are you coming every single Sunday to the church? Why? He said, I said, do you believe in? No, I don't believe in God. But why you come then? It's every Sunday, man. You can go to do some other stuff. Like one Sunday, I understand. Second Sunday, I understand. The girl told him, definitely no, I'm not going to go out with you or something, but you're still coming. He said, you know why I'm coming? He said, something is different about you. The way how you guys speak between you, the way how you guys relate one to each other, like I'm going in so many environments, I have so many friends, I'm doing so many things, but I never experienced something like that. Something gets different about you. You know what? I don't believe in God. but pray that I will believe. Because I can say that I believe, but I don't. But pray to your God to help me to trust in Him. He did even a funny thing. Our church, it's not legally registered yet, because according with our law, you have to have more than 100 members. So we are not there yet. And I talk with him in a certain environment. I share with him this thing. And he said, oh, so you need about 100 to 120 people in the church, right? I said, yeah, when we'll get there, we're going to apply for registration. So about 2 weeks later, he come. You also have this this papers application for membership, right? So he said, well, how that thing with membership looks to you? And I gave him one to look at it. He said, can I have it? Yeah, I can have it. And he took it home and he's make copy, Xerox. And then 2 weeks later, he come with the big stock of appliances. I said, what is that? He said, Pastor Chris, he said, you know, you let this sin to be on me. He said, I just go to our bar in the corner and I talk with all my friends and I ask them to do a good thing. So he gave me about 10, guys who will apply to be members of our church. He said, I have about 10 more, but I didn't have copies for them. So I'm going to bring you more. Let's do this. And I will take this sin on me, he said. Well, he has a perspective. He has a perspective. I said, I really appreciate it. I'll tell this story in many churches when I'm going to preach. But, you know, the love for something, it's always pushing you to act. But when you're talking about love of Christ in you, that will going to get you tired if you let them manifest in you. You know why? Because your heart and your body, sinful heart and sinful body, doesn't want to love as Christ loves. We want to love how we want to love. We want to feel with who we want to feel. We want to suffer for what we decide to suffer. When it comes to take this body and take this heart and take this feeling and submit it to Christ and put ourselves to the Christ disposition and let Him love through us, let Him suffer through us, let Him act through us, that are going to stretch us. But, dear brothers and sisters, when we decide, you have this great song, I have decided what? To follow Jesus. No turning back. No. Before, I have what? The cross. You remember that guy who came to Jesus and said, I don't know how it says in English, but great teacher, what can I do to have what? Eternal life. He said, well, you know, go home, sell everything you are trusting your life into, give to poor people and people in need, and then do what? Come and take what? Take what? Take the cross. Well, cross means suffering. Take that attitude, embrace that type of love, love with sacrificial, love without expectation, love like God. Love. That it's a labor of love. I love you not because you deserve it. I am loved by God not because I deserve a bet. It's absolutely no value in me. I repeat that. It's absolutely no value in me or in you. We are loved by God not because we have a bit of value. We are loved by God because He is love, and His love just spreads out of His bucket, or how to say, He is just love. He just manifests like love like that. But not because I worth something. So if it's so with me, if this is the way how God rapports to me, if this God is how God looks to me, then how I'm looking. Okay, my 45 minutes is done. Okay, I'll be done. I'll be done quickly. How we are called to love? You know, I have some passion here, but I thought I'm not going to preach in English, but looks like I can stop now. Okay. And the third thing, you know, let's go to the third thing. And the third thing, it was, the steadfastness of our hope. Yeah, the steadfastness of our hope, it's calibrating our perspective for everything in life. Yeah, the steadfastness of our hope, do you understand the word calibrating? Yeah, it's giving the right measurement, it's giving the right sense of everything in life. Like, what is the purpose of this? You know, sometimes I'm saying, you know, if I don't have this phone, man, if I don't have this phone, I'm going to die. I die. If I don't have my food, if I don't have my coffee, if I don't have my shirt or my cap or my car or my truck or my. It's so much about me. When you have the right perspective of Christ, of life, of heaven, that thing, it's rechanging the value for everything you have in your hands or you wear or you want to do. It's changing everything. I had the privilege to preach a message last Sunday about Christ's resurrection. And you know, I just share with my church and I said, you know what? If Christ didn't rise, it's no sense to come to church. I mean, if he didn't rise, why to spend? It's not other funniest place to go. I mean, how fun it would be now to stay and watch a movie or go to a sport game or something. It's no sense to come here. If Christ didn't rise, why to bring your kids to this place? I mean, man, be smart. Christ didn't rise. Go, take them, teach them how to do business. He teach them how to be somebody in life. Give them different perspective because Christ didn't rise. It's no sense. And Paul actually says in the Bible, he says, if we put our trust in Christ only for this life, we are the most stupid people in the world. Like, if our faith, if our walk with Christ, if we are believers only for this life, then we are not smart at all. But we believe in Christ not because of this life. We have the perspective of eternity. And it's coming. It's coming. I cannot wait to meet with my Creator. You know, it's a great day, that day when He is risen. He was risen because He conquered the death. But can you imagine when you will experience that? I mean, it's that day when you're going to see with your eyes the Creator Himself because of Christ risen and you put the trust in Him. But can you imagine how great it will be? I mean, I'm coming in the States. I'm seeing the way how you guys are worshiping. I'm just looking to all these roads, nice car, nice people. I enjoy your food. Like, you are saying, wow. I was with my friends to some kind of market where they sell all kind of old things. And I see people saying, wow. So there are many things who excite us. But in that day, when we're going to see the Creator, wow. Can you imagine? Because of that day and because of that God, I want to be not only a listener of the Word of God. I want to be a doer. And I want to make a difference. My purpose in life is to be not a challenge. I'll be sometimes become a sinner, but that is not my purpose. My purpose is to be a blessing. I'm going to be a doer, not only a listener. And when he talks about love, I'm not going to do things what I want to do. I want things to do things to serve you in a way that God is glorified and you'll grow in your relationship with Christ. Because I have a hope. It is a hope. It's the hope that it will come a day when all the workers of God are going to gather together. All the workers of God, together with our great worker, Christ. We're going to gather together and celebrate the reunion. We're going to talk about what was the meaning and the purpose of living on this earth. And what is the purpose of meaning of everything what we did. And I want to encourage you, Church Harvest Cambridge, to just make a decision in your life what you want to live for. I mean, if you'll be all your life, you'll be a challenge or a blessing, a challenge or a blessing. If you want to be a challenge, just do nothing. Just follow your heart. Because our heart is wicked and sinful. And the only desires it's going to give is going to be desires which are going to go against God's glory. Just follow you and you'll be a challenge all the time. But if you want to be a blessing, if you want to be a blessing, be a doer, not only a listener in your faith. If you want to be a blessing, you know, check with yourself, but ask others, hey, what do you think about the labor of my love? Can you see Christ in me? Do you think it's obvious? Go in your small group and ask questions and to your sister and brothers, hey, when you look aside, like from aside to my, what do you feel like you can see? And let them, encourage them to tell you the truth, not the right answer. You know? And just let's remember each other what is the purpose of our presence on this earth. The only purpose here is to fulfill, to achieve God's purpose for this life and for this creation.